welcome to the Entertainment Dugout for the week of February 24th. Wow. I am your co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and ailing Melissa Hansen.
Like a month after I had the flu, I finally got rid of the cough this last week. I have a cold.
Great.
I may be sneezing during the podcast here.
No, that's all right. We're quite a pair because I'm all stinky and sweaty. I just did my 5 miles and I haven't had a shower. So
good thing I can't smell you.
Yeah, exactly.
It's right?
How has your weekend entertainment been?
Last night I went and saw Cirque du Soleil.
Ooh, la la.
Their touring production, which is Verikai. I'm sure I'm saying it wrong. But anyhow, that's what's on tour right now.
Right.
It's an older show. It's not like a brand new one.
Okay.
Great. I've seen a couple different shows, but the two I saw were in Vegas. I saw Ka and Love.
Yes, Love.
Which is, Love is different, I think, from all their other shows.
Yes.
Pretty much.
Yes.
But anyhow, this is different because it's touring. They don't have a set big thing because, like, Ka, this huge stage goes, like, completely vertically. But you can't do that in you know, a hockey arena.
Oh, is that where it was?
Where I sat.
Okay.
It was at the Dr. Pepper arena.
Seriously?
It's the Stars practice there.
Mm.
And it was like half of it. But it was great. I mean, amazing acrobatics. Costumes were so funky.
Isn't it an elemental theme like some of their other stuff?
No, it's okay. Now, if you've seen stuff, like, they supposedly have a plot.
Yeah, well, like a through line anyway.
Yeah, anyhow, this is Icarus.
Oh.
After he falls, he lands into the world. And so it's what happened after he flew.
Okay.
Too close to the sun.
Yeah.
Anyhow, so it really has nothing to do with any of that. Like, you don't even know. Like, he kind of falls down. And he has wings, but they come off right away, and then it's just crazy characters, and there's a couple, like, more human characters, but they're kind of crazy, and there's all these kind of more not specific animals, mm-hmm. you know, but anyhow, amazing music. I've been researching, so the title is Romani language, Gypsy. And I don't know if the lyrics are or not, or if there's, like, kind of made-up stuff or combinations of languages. I'm actually researching, and I can't find specifically what it is. But so this beautiful music with words you can't understand, like operatic kind of music, and the people flying it, like trapeze stuff, and then the, like, you know, the bands and the ribbons where you kind of wrap your arm in and wrap your leg in and, like, fall and, like, do all that kind of stuff, and then dance stuff, and then... Oh, like a kind of tumbling, and it's just crazy. It's crazy. It's
how
crazy.
Are there clowns?
I can't tell you how many times I gasped.
Really?
Couldn't watch certain things.
Wow. 'Cause
I was sure someone was going to fall and crack their skull open. And of course they didn't.
Right.
Because they're so talented and amazing performers. Anyhow, it was beautiful. It's wonderful. If you've never seen a Cirque show, I mean, I think it's something you got to do once in your life.
Yeah.
Just to experience. And maybe it won't end up being for you, but just experience what it's like. They're bizarre, but so beautiful.
Well, and they're everywhere. There's like 5 of them in Vegas. They have several touring productions.
Oh, God, I think there's more than 5 now at this. Because they have like the Criss Angel one and everything.
Oh, I forgot
all over the board. Yes, all over the board. But if you go to Vegas, if you're a Beatles fan, go see Love.
I love that show. I've seen it 3 times.
I've seen 3 different shows, and Love is still my favorite if you like Beatles music.
Yeah. Yeah, if you hate Beatles, don't go see it, because that's all it is.
Yeah, and that's what makes it extra special.
But George Martin, who is the Beatles producer, he's the one who he and his son recut all of their music for this specifically,
right.
And using outtakes and set, you know, alternate takes and all sorts of things to really craft this beautiful. And there's a documentary out about it. There's a CD is out there. It's just it's phenomenal.
So if you're in Vegas, go see one of the Cirque shows. If you can catch this one on tour, absolutely go see it. They're totally worth seeing.
Yeah. In the wintertime, I can't believe we never went down on the beach in Santa Monica right off the pier. They have like 2 months they're down there right at this time of year, January, February.
Some of the touring they do, they take a big, huge tent. If it's like a long term, like this is here for like a week. It's like eight show kind of thing. So it's in buildings. Like I said, this is, you know, like you know, ice arena stuff. But yeah, sometimes they do like a long term, but not permanent.
Yes.
They set up their tents and anyhow, this, if you haven't seen it, it's expensive. It's worth it to go and just experience something like nothing else you will ever see.
Agreed. Agreed. I've been in just the little time that I have, our on-demand system, and this may be true of everybody, I'm sure, NBC is putting kind of unfiltered Olympics coverage on demand. So I missed the men's figure skating, and I only caught the first one where, what is it, Yevgeny Plushenko, is that right?
Yeah.
Who had injured his back. But I missed the other guys. So what they have is they have everybody who competes, and on primetime they show maybe six guys.
Yeah.
You know, the top six. But here it's like Nancy Kerrigan and Johnny Weir are doing the commentary.
Tara Lipinski.
Oh, it's Tara Lipinski.
Okay. Tara Lipinski and Johnny Weir. And he is like amazing. He's not crazy.
No, he's not. He's very insightful.
He is an amazing announcer.
Yeah.
I was shocked. He's doing, the two of them are doing a beautiful, beautiful job.
Yeah. And it's everybody. You get to see the people that you never even knew competed, and it's amazing. I mean, a lot of it is, you know, they're not very good, and you can see why some of them, there's a lot of falls and things like that. But
you can also see this online.
Okay.
NBC.com/Olympics, I think. Yep. It's their main Olympic site. It's not the best website. You have to search a little, but you can find everything in its entirety. But this is exactly it. You have to have a paid subscription to something. People or Direct or Dish or something. Okay. You have to sign in to be able to see it. But, you know, you just have to have someone's email and password. I'm just saying. To sign in.
Yes, and I'm sure there are people out there who would be willing to share with you.
Mm-hmm. I'm not advocating.
Nope, I hear you.
I'm not advocating this. I'm just saying you have to have some kind of paid service, Dish or cable, and you have to have like the email and sign in password. That's I'm just saying that on, you know, NBC.com/Olympics.
But it's commercial free too, so
it's just straight through. It's the whole thing with announcers doing it.
Oh yeah.
But it's the whole thing. It's not the highlights you catch at night.
Yeah.
So
I'm very you miss Bob Costas's eye infection and everything, but hey. Uh-huh. What happened there? Man, he started with one eye, it went to two eyes.
I just had bad pink eyes, so he was out for a while and then he came back. And so like Meredith Vieira made history.
Yeah, how about that?
First female to actually host U.S. Olympic coverage.
Yeah.
Because she took over because Matt Lauer did like weekdays and then she did last weekend. But anyhow, Bob's back. So.
All right. But I have to say, from the stuff that I've seen, it's not the most overwhelming Olympics that has ever been.
No.
There hasn't been a lot of...
Star-wise?
Yeah.
I don't know if there's such big... Bodie Miller and horrible interviewers making him cry.
Yep. Sean White botched it for himself. But
our big stuff used to be like the skating.
Right.
Used to be short track and figure.
Yep.
Kind of stuff. And we have Shawnee on short track, but like it's all new kind of stuff.
Yeah.
The female figure skaters are all new. So I don't know.
It may be a transition time.
Yeah.
Because it seems like the big names are kind of on the outs.
And Yvonne wasn't competing.
Yeah.
And, like, our big names either weren't, like, Bodie Miller was the one big name, I think.
Well, you know who I was surprised.
And Sean White, like, pulled an event. Anyhow.
But yeah, Evan Lysacek, who is from Naperville or something, the figure skater, who won, gold in Vancouver, didn't he?
I don't know what medal he won, but yeah, I know him.
But he's not competing at all anymore.
No.
I didn't think he was that old, but he must have just turned professional and... decided.
Yeah, one of the male figure skaters is from Highland Park, Illinois.
Yes, and he's like the sex symbol. He's got the ponytail and all.
Oh, he is not. He's dorky.
Well, but I mean, this is what they were talking.
He's trying to be.
Yes, and his ponytail has its own Twitter account.
Oh, good lord!
Yeah,
of course it does. But I don't know why I'm surprised. Of course it does.
So, anyways, social media Olympics. But yeah, and I think South Korea has it next time in 4 years from now, I believe, which will happen during the closing ceremonies. They have their own presentation and whatnot. So, anyways, moving on, I digress. Box office this past week, I didn't grab the numbers. Do you have them?
Okay.
And
The Lego Movie, number one.
Yep.
Lego Movie, 31 million.
Wait, there was a bunch of stuff that opened last week, and Lego is still on top?
Still on top by, like, insane amount.
Wow.
Then to number two, we dropped to 12 million.
Holy crap.
3 Days to Kill is at 12 million. Pompeii is at 10 million. RoboCop is at 9.5 million. The Monuments Men is just over 8 million.
Well, Hollywood and producers.
That's it goes down obviously more from there. So yeah, big still Lego Movie and then almost nothing else going on.
Obviously, family friendly fare is still at the top of the list for people. So I have a.
And again, I have not heard a bad thing about this movie.
No, $183 million so far. Crazy. Yeah.
Plastic blocks, it's not even real things that you're then animate. I don't
know. And it's so subversive. And you know who's doing it? It's Chris Pratt, who is voicing the lead character from Parks and Rec.
Oh, it's an amazing cast.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a cast I love. Yeah. Will Arnett, Elizabeth Banks, I love them.
Yeah.
Love them. So, I mean, it's got to be good. I just can't believe it is. Yeah.
All right. Well, we've got four contenders to take out Lego Movie starting this weekend. Nonstop, which has been promoted up the wazoo everywhere, is the Liam Neeson. He's the U.S. Air Marshal on the transatlantic flight. It's like Taken on the plane.
Yeah.
He's doing all of these movies now. This has kind of become his thing.
It's Jodie Foster did similar.
Right. Yeah. What was that called?
Kidnapped daughter, and they claimed didn't bring a daughter on the plane.
Yes.
Or something, right?
Yeah. Red Eye was with Rachel McAdams, and that was...
Oh, yeah, Cillian. Right?
Yes, Cillian Murphy.
Creepy as hell. Ugh. Yeah, that was a bad movie, but just fun to watch him be all... Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyhow. All right.
It's Leon. So, there's two recut movies that are coming to the theaters this week. One is called Son of God, which is basically Mark Burnett and Roma Downey's Bible miniseries that they did. For cable. They've recut it just to focus on Jesus.
That's kind of smart.
And they're pre-selling tons of tickets.
Oh, I'm sure.
So as we move into the Easter season, so this is going to be, you know, out there. And then just to counter that, Will Ferrell and Adam McKay, those guys, they're going to stick it to Mark Burnett because they cut Anchorman 2 again with what they claim are 763 new jokes.
Nice. Big acting, right? Yeah, it's like a half an hour longer or so, right?
This is the R-rated edition.
Yeah, nice.
So we'll see. And the first one was very funny. We both liked it.
I did. Yep. Yeah, we'll see. It's supposed to be, I think, a little, darker and,
And then the fourth movie is a little low-budget horror comedy that was supposed to be out last summer and then mysteriously got shelved for some reason, some legal issues. So, Mummy director Stephen Sommers is adapting a Dean Koontz novel called Odd Thomas, and it stars Star Trek's Anton Yelchin as a
Oh, good. I'm glad he's still, because he, like, hit big and then kind of faded.
Yeah, he did the Charlie Bartlett, and that was supposed to be his big coming out thing.
Yeah.
And then it never really went anywhere for him.
Yeah, well, good for him, because he's adorable.
Yeah. So he plays
a compliment to like a whatever 25-year-old guy. I don't know. He's adorable. I don't care. I'm going with adorable. Because that's what I think.
He is a short order cook with clairvoyant abilities who, of course, has to save the world. But
of course.
Willem Dafoe is also in this.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, and he's not playing the bad guy for a change.
Wow.
Yeah,
you can't beat a Dafoe movie, man. Yeah.
Okay, if you're not going to the movies this week, coming to DVD and Blu-ray, big stuff, Gravity, Alfonso Cuarón, George Clooney, Sandra Bullock. Did you see it?
No. Okay. I kept meaning to, and then whatever, and I didn't get it in the theater, so I'm, waiting till now. I know I'm a loser.
Warner Brothers told us they were sending us a copy for review. We haven't gotten it. Don't know what happened. Waiting to hear back. Thor the Dark World, good movie. Did you see that one?
No.
Oh, boy.
No, I'm not a loser.
Again, I just went back to watch the original Thor, which I hadn't seen since the theater. I'd only seen it the once, and I was surprised at how well it held up, because it didn't make a... Well, we saw it. It was a really good movie, but I don't remember it leaving a lasting impression on me.
No, except for Hiddleman, right?
Oh, Tom Hiddleston. Yeah.
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 Yeah. He left a Hiddleston. Impression. Yeah.
Yep. But the second one's even better. The second one is even darker, more action. Christopher Eccleston plays the bad guy.
Oh.
Doctor Who fans. Oh. Yeah. So there's that. Alexander Payne, who did Sideways and The Descendants with George Clooney, his new film, Nebraska, with Bruce Dern, is out on DVD, and I have heard nothing but good things about this.
Yeah, not just good things, like holy cow things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to seeing that. Criterion has released one of these talked about indie films, Blue is the Warmest Color.
Yes.
It's the lesbian romance, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's coming out on Criterion this week. And then Shout Factory's collector's edition of The Shadow is hitting Blu-ray. Now, I adore this movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the great superhero movies. It's one of the great kind of film pulpy noir. Alec Baldwin is at his best in this. And I want to say, after watching it again, it kind of, Christopher Nolan borrowed a little bit of it for Batman Begins.
Okay, I just have to say, Alec Baldwin was not at his best in that, because Alec Baldwin was his best in Nip Tuck, and he will never do that.
Well, that's right,
just
that was a cameo, though.
He was at his second best, maybe.
Okay.
All right.
So it's good. There's not a lot of special... There's one featurette that has new interviews with cast and crew, and I have to say, it's not Mary Louise Parker. It's Mary Stuart Masterson, right? I'm going to have to look this
Which
up.
Which one? Darker, short blonde?
Short
longer.
Blonde.
Short blonde?
Yes.
Mary Stuart Masterson.
Nope. Actually, I'm wrong. It's Penelope Ann Miller.
Oh, well, they're confusing too.
Yes.
Not the name-wise, just look-wise.
They are. But in her interview, which was just recorded this past year, she looks like she hasn't aged a bit. I think she had a lot of work done.
Could be.
I don't know.
She's an actress in Hollywood.
I know. But
she's an older actress in Hollywood.
But then you look at Alec in that movie and Alec today.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, he's not an actress. He's an actor.
Yeah, well, yeah. And I've seen Alec on the farmer's market on a Saturday in Santa Monica wearing an 80s tracksuit in his fat, bloated state. It's not a pretty picture.
He got in shape because he married the yoga
That's
teacher.
Right. Anyway,
it's not his all.
And everything. Flexible. Anyways, if you have never seen this movie, you have to see it. You owe it to yourself to see it because it's a great little film.
Is that The Phantom? Billy Zane?
Well, it's Billy Zane. But Ian McKellen is in this. Tim Curry is in this. John Lone from The Last Emperor is in this. Jonathan Winters is in this.
Nice.
I love this movie.
Well, Ray, didn't you open with that?
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Jonathan Winters is in this. Well, there, we're done talking.
You'll read my review of that this week.
All right.
At Redbox, Robert Rodriguez's Machete Kills. Robert De Niro's mob comedy, The Family. Julia Louis-Dreyfus and James Gandolfini in Enough Said.
Oh.
And then the Christian coming-of-age tale, which we've reviewed, and I think it was okay. It's called Grace Unplugged.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of these Christian family films. It's become a very big business.
It has.
And Dave Johnson reviews a lot of stuff for it, but I think somebody else covered that one. The cool thing is, for Redbox this week, if you text the word DAYS, D-A-Y-S, get your pencils down, 727272.
Okay.
And charges may apply depending on your data package for your texting thing. Anyways, Redbox is sending promo codes for free rentals, for two-for-ones, for games, for DVD, Blu-ray, for the next 10 days, starting today.
Okay, wait. 727272.
Correct.
Oh, wait. My fingers are too big. Okay, what am I supposed to text?
DAYS, D-A-Y-S.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right.
So if you're a Redbox subscriber and love the service, you get some bonuses for the next week and a half. Over at Netflix, some new stuff has come out. Disney's Brother Bear, which I never saw. I kind of dropped. There was a period of time where I didn't go see a bunch of Disney movies. I still haven't seen Lilo and Stitch.
Shame on you.
I know.
Shame. Shame, I say.
Shame. The 1973 big screen adaptation of Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice's Jesus Christ Superstar. It's a bit of a haul to get through, but it's worth seeing. Paul Newman and Bruce Willis in Nobody's Fool, which is a beautiful little movie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And then The Fall of Enron, the documentary called The Smartest Guys in the Room,
Yes.
All available on Netflix this week.
Okay.
Over at Hulu, Riff Trax, the Riff Trax guys, Mike Nelson, Bill Corbett, Kevin Murphy, bring us The Devil's Hand.
Nice.
There's a whole bunch of Riff Trax stuff over there. So if you are thirsty for the Mystery Science Theater format, go check those guys out. The kind of fictionalized wacky world of Jerry Springer in the movie called Ringmaster is available.
Yes. I remember that. I didn't see it, but I remember. Okay.
And then Sidney Poitier, Mary Louise Parker, and Diane Wiest in The Simple Life of Noah Dearborn.
Sure.
Again, these great actors in films I've never heard of. If you're looking for that kind of stuff, it's over at Hulu. And then if you just want Hultcore classic, Basket Case 2 is also available. Classic 80s cheese, slash and gore crap, all at Hulu this week. And that's all I've got for physical and streaming media.
Okay. Well, Olympics are done.
Yeah, they kind of just
back
finished.
To normal. Yeah, back to normal TV-ish wise, except we have some mid-season. So,
yes.
So Monday, The Voice premiering on NBC, and this is the Shakira Usher version.
Oh, yeah.
Dallas is back on TNT. And then Tuesday, a new show on ABC. It's called Mind Games. It's Steve Zahn and Christian Slater.
What?
Others who you can hire to like get people to do things you want because they know how to do psychological tricks on them. Okay, whatever. Also Tuesday night, About a Boy and Growing Up Fisher, which premiered during the Olympics, are both on NBC. Glee is back on Fox, so it's a new night. All right. Anyhow, it's a new night, so it's Tuesday. So if you're a fan, make sure you tune in the right time. Wednesday, there's a new sitcom called Mixology on ABC. It's singles in a bar or whatever, hooking up. It's produced by Ryan Seacrest.
Imagine that. Something that Ryan produces.
I know. Anyhow, a new season of Survivor premiering on CBS, and The Americans is back on FX. Thursday night, there's a special on CBS, Countdown to the Oscars. Also Thursday on cable, IFC, a new season of Portlandia. And on History, new season of Vikings. And then Friday night, oh my gosh, Friday night.
What?
Hannibal's back!
Oh, yeah, Mr.
Hannibal's
Brian
back
Fuller.
On NBC. I'm so excited.
Did they end on a cliffhanger last year?
Yes. Oh my God. Oh my gosh. Oh my, I don't know what they're going to, it's not even like a cliffhanger. It's going to be resolved first episode. It's okay. Like just total twist of the show. So I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen. Just can't wait. Okay. All right. Also Friday night, Betty White's Off the Rockers, like old people doing practical jokes thing. It's back, but it's actually on Lifetime now.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Saturday, ABC is showing the movie The Social Network. And NHL game, it's Penguins versus Hawks, is on Saturday night. I'm only telling you because it's a Hawks game.
Yep.
And then Oprah's network own Dion's Family Playbook, Deion Sanders' reality show about his life with his family. All right. Saturday night, we, of course, have the Independent Spirit Awards on IFC, because Sunday night, we have the Oscars on CBS.
And the Razzies will be announced on Sunday as well.
It will. Music this week, Beck has a new one called Morning Phase.
It's good stuff.
And then country fans, Dierks Bentley is back with Riser. And then Nina Cherry. Remember her?
What?
90s?
Yes.
Whatever. She's a new one called Blank Project.
Wow. I wonder where she's been
out this week. Total nonfiction this week in books. The Letters of Robert Frost, Volume 1, 1886 to 1920.
Wow.
So it's obviously letters that he wrote to people that have been collected and edited. Handbook for an Unpredictable Life. How I Survived Sister Renata and My Crazy Mother and Still Came Out Smiling with Great Hair by Rosie Perez.
Oh, my God.
So a memoir from her.
All right.
Whitey on Trial, Secrets, Corruption, and the Search for Truth.
Boston's Whitey Bulger.
There you go.
Yep.
So that is out. And then Where Nobody Knows Your Name, Life in the Minor Leagues of Baseball by John Feinstein, who's a writer, but a sports writer. And then Hawk Heaven, The Road to the Seahawks' First Super Bowl Victory, by the Seattle Times. So it's a lot of their articles, but put in a collector book form.
Interesting.
All you fans. And then this one for you. I can see clearly now, Wayne Dyer.
Oh, yeah.
A little self-helpy there.
Yeah.
And then for you video game fans, Minecraft, Redstone Handbook, an official Mojang book is out by Scholastic. I don't even know what half those words mean, but you Minecraft players, I'm sure, you know, all the 13-year-old boys listening understand that.
My eldest niece and nephew have their iPad, and they are constantly on Minecraft designing stuff. No matter.
Well, there's a handbook for them now.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Broadway news. Okay. Anna Shapiro, the director who
Worked
with Steppenwolf,
yes,
is actually directing a new, well, not a new play, new on Broadway. It will be opening at the Longacre Theater on March 9th, of Mice and Men.
Oh.
So Lenny is played by Chris O'Dowd, who Bridesmaids,
yeah,
Friends with Kids, kind of, he's so adorable.
He's very funny.
Anyhow, he's playing Lenny, and George is being played by James Franco.
Ugh.
He's either going to be brilliant or a train wreck.
Oh,
I don't know.
God.
Dude, it's Anna Shapiro, and she freaking rocks the house.
She does. We've seen a lot of her stuff.
Yeah. Well, she brought August Osage County, and she won a Tony Award for that.
Yeah.
She brought that from Chicago to Broadway, and now New York has realized how brilliant she is, so they're stealing her again.
No, I don't think she directed the original Steppenwolf version of this, because it was Gary Sinise and John Malkovich, and then they went and filmed and made a movie out of it.
No. Yeah, I don't know who directed it when that's the Steppenwolf version.
I'd have to look it up. But
but Yana did August Osage County, and now, yeah, she's doing this one. So, I don't know. It could be. I don't know. Sometimes Franco pulls it out, man.
Yeah, he's you never know. It's a crapshoot. You never know what you're going to get. You know, you can get Oscar's James Franco, or you can get, what is it, 27 Hours? No, what was the name of that movie?
127
Hours. 127
Hours. Which, yeah, he rocked.
Yeah.
So anyhow, so O'Dowd, I'm sure, will be brilliant.
Oh,
and for all you youngins, Leighton Meester?
Meester from
Yeah, she's in it.
Okay.
Too.
All right.
Well, there you go.
They're definitely catering to the younger crowd. Kids going to theater again.
Yeah.
Tying into theater, we lost Maria von Trapp this past weekend.
The junior.
Yes. Yes. Not
we didn't. So the real kids' names weren't the names in the movie.
No. This would have been Louisa in the movie.
Yeah.
But she was 99 years old, and their family had owned a ski resort in Vermont.
Yeah. After they moved here, after they got married and moved here,
yep.
They had. The captain and Maria,
yes,
like older Maria, had like three or I don't know, a few kids, and they, yeah, had this big place. And so the captain and Maria's children, some are still living.
Yes.
But anyhow, okay, there's your history lesson.
There you go. We had a bit of a tragedy on the set of the Allman Brothers biopic, Midnight Rider.
Yeah.
Whoa. Assistant camera operator, 27-year-old Sarah Jones, she was part of a large crew that was setting up for what they were filming as a dream sequence. First day of principal photography. They were told by the railroad company to expect two trains crossing this like trellised bridge, one coming from either direction. And then after they were done, after they'd gone through, they went and set up their shot.
Yeah.
Well, then a third train shows up.
Mm-hmm.
And they had all this stuff set up. The crew scrambles to get to safety, but some of the equipment got left behind, and when the train hit it, it sent all of this stuff flying.
Yeah, a lot of people actually got hurt.
Yes, they did, but sure. Sarah was killed.
Yeah. I have a question, and
yeah.
I don't know if this is going to come off as too harsh or unfeeling, because, God, this is horrific, but are there no, like, unused train tracks anywhere?
There's
why would they be shooting on, like, a working train track?
Well, it's the location manager. I mean, they have an entire team of people that go out and scout locations ahead of time,
yeah,
and they get clearances and signed releases.
I pass by train tracks that are no longer in use.
Yeah.
It's just dumbfounding me that, I don't know, it must have looked perfect. But, yeah, horrible tragedy.
Jeez. Showrunner Tim Kring, who... was probably hit fame with Crossing Jordan. That was his big breakout show.
I like that show. I mean, crappy, but it was good at the beginning.
It was good at the beginning, and they kind of lost their shit. Bringing his long-dead series Heroes back to life in 2015 with a 13-episode miniseries for NBC.
Oh, cool. Which, that's not a miniseries nowadays. That's a series.
No, it is basically a series. Yeah.
It's a season. That's a season.
Yep. Subscribing to the British model. Yep.
For fans.
Yep.
Hello.
The plot and the characters involved closely guarded secrets, but this is going to be a multi-platform event, and they're going to do a digital series release before the actual series shows on network TV that's going to introduce the characters and set up the storyline. So keep an eye on hashtag Heroes Reborn for more details, either Twitter, Facebook, whatever your social media is. That hashtag is what they'll be using to keep people up to date.
Okay, between that and Veronica Mars, how many fans of old TV shows are...
stuff. And, you know, this gives life to and hope to people like Brian Fuller, whose show Pushing Daisies was kind of unceremoniously...
That's a beautiful movie.
Yes. So the marketplace is changing, and the studios are now willing to put out money because these properties have legs, and they have connections that are going to guarantee some revenue for them. That's the only reason they're doing it. Marvel unveiled its first trailer for James Gunn's Guardians of the Galaxy film, and the world obviously fell in love because everybody's talking about this thing. Chris Pratt, who we just talked about at the Lego movie, is fronting this merry band of Marvel Universe anti-heroes. Now, what these characters are going to operate kind of on the fringes of what's already established for Thor and Captain America and Iron Man, and you have this stuff. But I think what they're doing with this, James Gunn, who grew up in Dromoland, and you've seen a bunch of his movies, Super, Slither, he's a very... what's her name? Jenna from...
Jenna Fisher is his ex-wife.
His ex-wife. They were, yes. But he's very inventive. He comes from that low-budget atmosphere where
it's funky, but it's fun.
Yes. Subversive. Yeah. And what this is going to do is it's going to tie up all of kind of the loose threads that have existed around the bigger films. Especially dealing with the space stuff. So we were introduced to Thanos, this big... intergalactic villain at the end of the first Avengers movie, just kind of briefly. At the end of Thor the Dark World, we had a brief run-in with the Collector by Benicio del Toro. All these things are going to start tying together, which I think you're going to see a little bit more of it in the second Avengers movie, and then I think the big third Avengers movie, if my prediction is correct, it's going to be this big interstellar battle with the heroes from Earth coming out to fight a much bigger... on a much bigger warlike plane. So,
okay.
We'll see. Speaking of superhero movies, Fox knocked over a fanboy hornet's nest when they announced the reboot for the Fantastic Four this week. I don't know what the hell is going on with this. So, that awkward moment, the comedy that just came out, Miles Teller, Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah.
Miles is going to play Reed Richards. Michael B. Jordan, who's a fantastic actor, don't get me wrong, he's playing Johnny Storm, who, traditionally speaking, I'm all for gender-blind, color-blind color casting. Johnny Storm is the all-American white boy, blonde hair, blue-eyed kid.
That's how he's been portrayed, yes.
Forever, from the beginning.
But I will also point out that he's a comic book character and not real.
This is true. No, I completely agree
with you. So he's not actually a blonde-haired, blue-eyed, white boy.
I hear you.
That's just how people have drawn him in the past.
So his sister, Sue Storm, who will be Miles Teller's, and I don't think they're going to have a wife in this first one. I think that's going to go back to the beginning. They'll be boyfriend, girlfriend. Kate Mara. And then Billy Elliot's Jamie Bell is playing Ben Grimm, the ever-loving blue-eyed thing, who Michael Chiklis did in the other movies.
Yeah.
Jamie is not a big guy.
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing. I mean, if you're playing him before you got, like, transformed, I don't know how they're going to do it. How he's going to look or what they're going to do.
All right, but it's in the hands of Wonderkin director Josh Trank, who did Chronicle, which, again, was this low-budget superhero-type movie that... wowed everybody. And Simon Kinberg, who wrote the script for Sherlock Holmes, the first one for Guy Ritchie, has developed a story with Trank for this. So I don't know. It's kind of a mess of expectations at this point, but we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. And then one other quick note, speaking of Guy Ritchie, his big screen adaptation of the 60s TV series Man from U.N.C.L.E., starring Superman Henry Cavill and Lone Ranger Armie Hammer.
Okay.
Set for release January 16th, 2015.
Aren't we over Armie Hammer now?
I hope so.
I adored him, but like, I don't know, I think just we, the collective we, are kind of over him.
Yeah, so he's playing Ilya Kuryakin.
Okay. Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
Something different for him. That's it.
We're running long. I'm done. Go ahead.
All right. So, Bret Easton Ellis, who wrote American Psycho.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and his last film he did was The Canyons that Lindsay Lohan.
Oh, yeah.
18. Yeah. Anyhow, so he has his next project ready.
Okay.
He has been requested to write a movie, which he, I guess, finally agreed to do.
Okay.
He has said it's the most bizarre thing he's ever written. And it is for Kanye West.
Oh, shit.
And I just think, because, so like the headline is American Psycho writer penning movie. For Kanye. And I just think Psycho and Kanye West in the same sentence is just so apropos. So we can all really look forward to Kanye on the big screen. Yay.
I'm sure it'll be just as impressive as Chris Brown in that dance movie.
Ay, ay, ay. All right, then.
All right. We have a contest this week?
We do. It's called The Pervert's Guide to Ideology.
Oh! I think
we reviewed it. Reviews on the site. Yeah. Got a pretty good ranking there.
Okay.
It's, okay, quote, stimulating, provocative, and often hilarious psychoanalytic cinematic rant. Uh-huh. So anyhow, it's about, it's cinema. It's about movies and themes and movies throughout the years and psychoanalyzing them.
Yep. All right. You know,
and not in a dry, boring way.
Yeah.
So, okay. So that is our contest from Zeitgeist Films this week.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, as always, thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you for reading our reviews at DVDverdict.com, listening to our podcast at DVDverdictPresents.com, and reading the news at DailyVerdict.com. And until next week, Melissa Ann, take it away.
Sour candy on lips, clenching to fight back tears. Goodbye.